awesome. I'm so glad that you guys are here today. My name is Philip. I'm part of the team, and so glad that you are joining us, whether it's online, in a movie theater in Hiawassee, or here in a gym in Morganton, Vertical Church. Apparently, we love random places, and we'll show up there and meet. So watch out if you're a random building in North Georgia. We may just start a church there. So, okay, so we finished up a series recently, and we're starting a new series. So if this is your first week, week one of the series, you're doing great so far. Okay, so this series is called Available. And I'm going to say something. I've been known to step on some toes wherever Mike Baldwin is. He gets very upset about this from time to time. And I'm going to do something that's offensive. We're starting our Christmas series before Thanksgiving. Oh, y'all, some of y'all on my side, my wife is dying inside right now in our tech bunker. I'm not allowed to play Christmas music before Thanksgiving, and I may try today. And so we'll see how that goes. I know how it's going to go, but I'm so glad that you're here. We're starting our Christmas series. It's going to be called Available, and in order to do that, we're going to the New Testament. Let's open up our Bibles to Luke 17. Luke 17, and you can open up your Bible app. If you don't have any, that's okay. We're going to throw up the words on the screen because we believe here at Vertical that the Word of God is alive and active. We want you to participate when we read it. We want you to see the words and hear them. Luke 17, verse 11. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" And as I was reading this, this really stuck out to me, the phrase, "they stood at a distance." That was curious to me, but if you know the historical and cultural context of this, it's because people who had leprosy in this time were outcasted from the town. They didn't get to go into town and participate. They had to go live kind of on the fringe of society, literally. They were cast out. They were said, "You cannot participate because of the skin disease that you had." And so when they hear about this guy named Jesus coming around, they go, maybe he can do what people say. I mean, we're hearing crazy things that he can actually heal people. And so can he do that in our life? Because they say, maybe our life can't get any worse. I mean, worst case scenario, Jesus doesn't heal me and my life continues as it is, but maybe he can change my life. But it went deeper than that for me when it says they stood at a distance. I don't know if any of you can relate to me, but there's been times in my life where I wanted to stay at a distance from Jesus. Maybe because of my sin or my shame or my guilt. Or quite frankly, sometimes I stayed at a distance from Jesus because I didn't want to change. But there was these times in life where I could relate to these lepers, not with the skin disease, but this idea that I had to stay at a distance from Jesus. And maybe you can relate to that right now. Maybe you're feeling like you got to stay at a distance from Jesus because of how you feel. Or maybe you don't know that Jesus really wants to interact with you. Maybe you don't know that Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. Or quite frankly, maybe you can relate to me when I was younger and I stayed at a distance from Jesus because I didn't want to change. And maybe you're all in those different places, and that's I'm just glad you're here. I'm glad that you're here because one thing that we're going to talk about in this series is regardless of what we're doing, Jesus is available. And there's a second group of people because we're going to have a real conversation early in the sermon. I don't know if that's okay, but we're just going to do it anyway because I got a microphone. So here we go. I think there's a second group of people that stay at a distance from Jesus. And they can relate a little bit to the lepers because the lepers had to stay at a distance from him because they were told to stay away. And I wonder if there's a second group of people out there that right now stay away from Jesus because they've been told to. And right now you may be online or in a building right here in Morganton, or you may be in Hiawassee going, wait, Christians don't tell people to stay away from Jesus. And I would go, I don't know if that's necessarily the case anymore. We maybe don't go tell people verbally, hey, you need to stay away from Jesus. But maybe we imply it with how we talk. Maybe we imply it with the things that we say. Maybe we imply it by the way that we just carry ourselves. Maybe we tell people to stay at a distance from Jesus. And you go, I don't know that I'm buying that flannel-wearing pastor. I don't think so. Well, let me ask it this way. Let's just get real. If someone's struggling with homosexuality right now in America, do they feel like they need to stay away from Jesus? If someone's had an abortion in our country, do they feel like because of the way Christians talk and act, do they feel like they need to stay away from Jesus? If someone's struggling and addicted to pornography or drugs or something else, do they feel like they need to stay away from Jesus? Because what are those people going to say? Have American Christians actually built a barrier around Jesus from people to get to him? I wonder if there's people out living on, quote, the society fringes right now, and they think they need to stay away from Jesus. And see, at our church, that's going to be a real problem, because here at Vertical, we believe that Jesus is who he says he is. We believe Jesus when he said, I'm the way, the truth, the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me. That was Jesus' claim. Jesus comes down to earth to make himself available to humanity and says, I'm your one hope. And so therefore, it's a logical problem for any Christian who says, I follow Jesus, I follow the guy that says he's the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. It's a logical problem then if we're telling people to stay away from the one hope. Like, that should boggle our minds of going, wait, something needs to change, because if we truly believe Jesus is who he says he is, then we would want to make sure nobody stays away from him. We would want to try to get everyone we possibly could to interact with Jesus, because he's come down from heaven and made himself available, and he's the one hope for humanity. And we should go, wait, I need to live my life in such a way that I invite as many people as I can to come meet Jesus. Like, why do you think those 10 lepers showed up? Those 10 lepers showed up because someone told them about this guy named Jesus. And they just happened to hear some things. They had never met him before, but they'd heard, this dude can change lives, and I've got to come try. Even if I got to remain at a distance, I've got to try to interact with Jesus, because I hear he can change my life. And that's how we should be as a church. We should influence the world around us. We should influence fellow believers and go, man, we've got to try to get as many people to interact with Jesus as humanly possible, because this is our one shot at it. We don't get to go live a life before us. We don't get to live a life after us. This is our one shot before God to go, can I invite you to come meet Jesus? And see, here's the thing. There's no pressure on us in that. Because here's the thing. We also need to understand what the New Testament tells us. Not everyone's going to follow Jesus. Not everyone's going to follow Jesus. The pressure's not on us as to whether or not they'll give their life to Jesus and follow him and give up themselves and walk in the ways of Jesus. But it is on us a little bit if we're building a barrier where people go, I can't get to Jesus. I don't think he wants me to be following him. Well, that's curious. We're going to talk about in this series that Jesus came to be available. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Oh, y'all, that's a plot twist. That's a plot twist, and I'll explain to you why, because maybe you don't know in the cultural setting here, lepers were already cast out to the edge of society because of the skin disease. Nobody wanted them around. But Samaritans were already cast out too. Jewish people wanted to make it very clear to Samaritans, we don't like you. And so this guy already knew Jesus was a Jew. This guy as a Samaritan knew Jewish people don't like me. This guy knew as a leper, people don't like me. And so as a Samaritan leper, he's got almost the audacity to go cry out to Jesus and ask him, have pity on me. Help me. And see, here's the thing. I wonder as a Samaritan leper, after you've been told by so many people that you're not wanted, you're not worth anything, you're not valuable, I wonder, does he struggle with self-worth at all? Like, I wonder, do any of you relate to that at all? Did you struggle with, what am I really worth? And here's this guy who society has told him, you are at the bottom rung. You are on not only the fringe of society, we're going to throw you to the outer rim. Like, you're as far away as you can possibly get from society. You are a Samaritan leper. And he still shows up and calls out to Jesus. And it shows us in these verses, Jesus heals him. The fringe of society. the outcast of outcast, Jesus heals him. Jesus seems to be available. But then it says something so interesting to me that it says the one guy came back, right? One guy comes back, praising God loudly, throws himself at the feet of Jesus, but we were already told there was 10. Where are the other 9? Because it said they were cleansed. It wasn't just this one guy. Look at the next verse. Jesus has the same question in verse 17. Jesus asks, were not all 10 cleansed? I love when Jesus asks a question he already knows the answer to. Like, y'all, Jesus knew all 10 were cleansed. Like, he wasn't asking that for anybody's benefit. He's like, where are your other 9 brothers, you know? Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And all of these verses, they stick out to me for several different reasons that we're going to talk about a little bit. The first one is Jesus clearly makes himself available to the fringe of society. He goes beyond what was the social norms of Judaism. For Jewish people, what he just did was beyond socially acceptable. It was beyond thinkable. And see, the reason is because a lot of Jews thought the Messiah was just for them. They thought when the Messiah comes, it will just be us as Jewish people. It's kind of our inner circle that Jesus is here for. And Jesus then shows up and doesn't heal just a Samaritan, which they don't like. He heals a Samaritan leper. He goes, this is what I think about just being for our inner circle. I'm going to go heal the fringe of society. And you go, maybe that was just a one-time thing. That could be a scenario. Unfortunately, the New Testament will not back us up on that theory. The New Testament reveals to us that Jesus shows up to a woman at a well who's not a Jew. And she's showing up at that well at that time because she's been outcast from society. She doesn't want to be around other people because of the way that they treat her. And so she's showing up at a well by herself, and Jesus shows up. And Jesus offers her living water. He says, no, 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 I can change your life. Not the physical, but I can change the spiritual. And see, we got to remember, that's what Jesus was doing so many times when he's physically healing people. He's using that as an opportunity to change them spiritually. And we got to understand, that's why it's so important that we're not trying to keep people away from Jesus, because Jesus is the one hope for someone to go from death to life spiritually. I mean, as a Christian, you can't be a Christian without acknowledging, I've sinned. I've sinned. And I need Jesus to heal me. I need Jesus to cleanse me. I need Jesus to forgive me. Like, you can't be a Christian if you don't admit that. And then why in the world would we ever want to keep that from someone else? And I've thought about this is, the good news about Jesus knows no social boundaries. It's just our social norms that do. Like, the good news of Jesus knows no social boundaries. It's just our social norms that do. Like, Jesus took the time on his way walking this town to interact with a Samaritan leper who society has told him, don't talk to those people. Send them away. And Jesus says, yeah, I'll send them away healed. Like, their interaction with Jesus changed them. But the flip side of that is so interesting that 9 of them don't come back. Like, don't you think about that? Like, isn't it going to be a little bit awkward for the person who was a leper and then the town casts him out and then he shows back up in a town and people are like, wait, wait, wait. Didn't we send you out because you were a leper, but now you're healed? And they're like, yeah, some guy named Jesus healed me. And people are like, whoa, that's radical. That's crazy. I want to meet Jesus. How do I get in touch with him? I don't know. Don't you think that was a little bit weird for the lepers? When people ask them all the time about, hey, aren't you healed? Aren't you different? Aren't you changed? Like, how do I get in touch with the person who changed your life? I don't know. I didn't go back to talk to him. Like, the only one of those 10 who could say, yeah, let me introduce you to Jesus was the guy who went back to be thankful. And it was the guy who was on the most outer fringe of society. I wonder sometimes if we as Christians inadvertently, unintentionally, keep people from Jesus because somewhere along the line, we've become a little bit unthankful. Somewhere along the line, we slowly started to not come back to the feet of Jesus. We slowly began to be who we are now that we're healed. Now that we're changed, now that we're different, we're good. We can kind of continue on with life. But see, I think there's this one thing that becomes an issue with that is that thankfulness and faith, they seem to be intertwined. Like the last thing Jesus says that's recorded to this leper is, go now, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Like, I wonder if being thankful and faith are intertwined, because I don't know that you can be thankful for Jesus if you don't have faith in him. But I don't know that you can have faith in Jesus if you're not thankful for what he did. And so there's this important idea of if we're supposed to stay connected to Jesus and know who he is and be thankful for all that he's done, like, do we go back to the feet of Jesus? Or at some point along the line, do we look a little bit more like the nine guys who were cleansed, like they were healed, but we've slowly, as life has gotten busy, we don't really go back to the feet of Jesus. And see, Jesus has come to be available, but it's important that we stay thankful. Because if we're not, here's what happens. Christianity just becomes a head knowledge while our heart and soul wither. Have you ever met somebody like that, where they seem to know a lot about God, but there doesn't see a lot of God in and through them? And it can happen because we haven't remained at the feet of Jesus. And the reason I say that is I'm going to quote Jesus. I want us to look at John 15. John 15. It says in verse 4, And if you've got your Bible or your Bible app, I want to encourage you to like underline or highlight the word remain. Your Bible may say something different. It may say something like abide. Those are all good. Like underline or highlight those words. Verse 4, it says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. And I think as we've looked at Luke 17, it's such an interesting word that Jesus has used, remain. Because remain, I think, is not only a posture, but it's a location. And see, there's this one leper, this one Samaritan leper who said, I remained. I didn't move on with my life. I didn't move on with my blessing. I didn't move on with my healing. I stayed with Jesus. I know that guy. He changed my life. He remained. And see, if we want to continue to grow, if we want to bear fruit, Jesus doesn't mince any word. He says, you've got two options. You remain connected to me as the vine, and you'll grow as a branch. You will bear much fruit. You won't bear a little bit. You will bear much fruit when you remain in me. But here's the thing. I think when we don't remain thankful, it's kind of like being a nice branch, and we're a good-looking branch. Like, I think, oh, y'all good-looking. Okay, so we're gonna be a good-looking branch that just spurts off. We got things going in life. We're going places. We got fruit that's bursting. This is a nice life as a branch. But all of it's come because we're being fed from the vine. And eventually, if we become unthankful, it's like we turn around and look at the vine as a branch and go, thank you so much that I've bared much fruit, but I'm good. I don't need you anymore, and we try to cut ourselves off from the vine. That's what it's like to become unthankful about Jesus. It's self-sabotage. Because what's going to happen to a branch that's been cut from the vine? Jesus says, oh, by the way, you're going to wither. Because we have no nutrients that are flowing back through us. It all comes from Jesus and Jesus alone. If we remain. And so as we're going through life, I mean, how many of you can relate to life gets a little busy? You may have some responsibilities. You may have some other people that are counting on you. You may have some things that you have to get done. Your time is valuable. But do we have time to remain in Jesus? Because if we don't, we're going to end up looking a little bit more like the 9 lepers who got healed but didn't come back, rather than the one guy who came back and said, "Thank you, Jesus. I got to know you. I got to know the one guy who, by all standards of society, should have walked right on by me as a Samaritan leper, but you stopped and changed my life. Thank you." I think as Christians, we should never lose that heart posture of being able to go, "I'm so thankful for who Jesus is and what he's continuing to do in my life." Because what Jesus is telling us in John 15, he goes, "I'm not a one-time thing. I'm not a one-time thing. When you stay remaining in me, you will continually see new things happening." It's a spiritual thing. And so my question is, have we not only remained, but have we remained thankful with Jesus? And see, you may have walked in the building today, you may be online right now, you may be in Hiawassee, and you've never given your life to Jesus. And I got good news for you. According to Luke 17, John 15, and the whole Bible, Jesus is available for you today. Jesus has taken care of everything already for you to give your life to him. He's already taken and done everything that's needed. He has died on the cross after living a perfect life, risen from the tomb 3 days later. He's taken care of everything, and he says, "I am available." And he's inviting you to follow him. Today can be your day. You don't have to stay away from Jesus. You don't have to live in shame or guilt or anything. There is a guy named Jesus who offers hope today. And at Vertical, we believe he's the one option. It's why we would never want to send anyone to the fringe of society or tell them to stay away from Jesus, because we don't believe you'll find anything else out there that's equal to Jesus. And so as a church, we want to invite you, come follow Jesus. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to tell you that it's easy. We're just going to tell you that it's worth it. It's going to require things like you denying yourself and picking up a cross and following him, but it's worth it because Jesus is who he says he is, and he's offered for you to remain with him. See, we believe that Jesus has a plan for your life, but it's a plan with him. And see, if we don't remain and we don't remain thankful, we can't participate with him in that. The worship team wants to come on back up. I want us to close out talking about being intentional. Because I think what happens to a lot of us is it was never an intentional choice to not come back to Jesus. Like, I think if you ask those lepers, like, why in the world did you not go back and talk to the guy that healed you of leprosy? They were just like, I just had things I had to go do. Like, you got to understand, as a leper, like, I hadn't seen my family in a while. Like, I hadn't been, and I hadn't got a bacon cheeseburger in a while. Like, what you mean? I had things I had to do, and they were all good things. But somewhere along the lines, unintentionally, they never went back to Jesus. And I wonder if that can happen to some of us. We would go, wait. Dude, like, of course I'm thankful for Jesus, but when's the last time we told him? When's the last time we showed him? When's the last time we remained with Jesus? Because I can tell you, after being married for a little bit, of course I love my wife, but I think she would like to be appreciated once in a while. I think she would like to actually hear and be shown I am thankful for her. Our relationship with Jesus is no different. In the sense that, do we show him and show up that we're thankful? Or has life slowly gotten us to the point where, yeah, we're thankful, we just haven't gone back to say so? And I want us to be encouraged to be people who remain thankful for Jesus. Because when we're people who are thankful, it's going to change how we treat people. when we're thankful, it's going to change how we invite people to come follow Jesus. Like if you got an invitation from the one guy who went back to see Jesus, his invitation is going to be a whole lot different to come hear Jesus than the other nine lepers. That one guy who went back to Jesus is always, for the rest of his life, going to be saying, you have got to meet Jesus. You got to meet him. He's changed my life. He can change your life. You got to meet him. Have we lost that along the line? Do we look a little bit more like the nine lepers? Yeah, Jesus has changed my life, but I don't know much else about him. Like, I don't know that I can invite you to follow him because I haven't remained. And so I want to encourage us. I want to challenge us. Like, this week, just start with this week. Can we be people who remain thankful? Like, can you take 5 minutes and journal and just say, this is the one thing I'm thankful for. And even as hard as life has been, even as it's been difficult, or maybe as great as it's been, like, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to write it down. Or I'm going to stop and I'm going to close the door to my room and I'm going to be thankful for just 5 minutes to start or end my day or whenever it is. And I'm going to be thankful. And I'm going to be intentional to tell you Jesus. Or maybe it's just sending a short video and saying, hey, I'm so thankful that you're in my life. I'm so thankful that God puts you in my life and what you're doing. I'm thankful for you. Maybe it starts to spur out to other people and we just show we're thankful for what God's doing and the people he's put in our lives. Can we just say, hey, we're just going to be intentional to be thankful? Because I think when we do, we're going to look a whole lot more like a Samaritan leper who showed up to praise God loudly, who showed up to say, Jesus, I'll throw myself at your feet because I'm so thankful that you've changed my life. When we ingrain that into who we are, it changes how we act, it changes how we worship, and changes how we invite people to follow Jesus. And this is our one shot at this life. All of us, this is our one shot. In our one life, will we be thankful? Will we remain thankful for Jesus? And so as we close out in worship, like, if you're not necessarily there, I encourage you to ask. I encourage you in this one time when we're spending it worshiping, I encourage you to pray and ask God, God, won't you do something new and fresh in my heart, in my mind? Won't you help me remain thankful? You can ask that. Samaritan lepers called out to Jesus, have pity on us. I promise you, Jesus is available. He's available today. So can we be a people who encourage and challenge one another to remain thankful in the highs, in the lows, but we encourage and implore one another, let us always be a group of people who can remain in Jesus and remain thankful. So Jesus, we give you this time. Thank you so much that you came down from heaven and made yourself available, the way, the truth, the life, that you have made your way for us to go from death to life spiritually. Thank you, Jesus, that we can then remain in you, that you can keep helping us bear fruit. You can help us do a new thing in our life. You can make things fresh, that you restore, you renew, you transform us. Jesus, thank you that you don't stop. It's not a one-time thing with you, Jesus, that you can keep making us more and more and more like you each and every day, Jesus. I pray for anyone that has not given their life to you, Jesus, that right now your love will beckon and call them right now, Jesus. Draw them to you. Let them find hope and healing in you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.